Turn with me in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin again in verse number 15, Matthew 24 and verse 15, and we're going to pick up where we left off. This is class number 4. We're going to pick up where we left off in class number 3, and we were talking about verse 15 and 16. We covered verse 16 and 15. And we basically went back to the book of Daniel and explained the abomination of desolation and the chain of events that would set in motion in the end times. As far as the tribulation is concerned, we went into pretty good detail in that. And really, I took about 30 minutes to explain that, and I drew it out really further than it had to be. But with all the numbers that's involved, I felt I had to explain it two or three different ways and really overemphasize those things, because those numbers really are confusing until you lay them out on a timeline back to back and put them in their proper place, rather than trying to make 1260 days and 1290 days and 2300 days all fit into the same time frame. It just can't be done, and the confusion that there is about those passages come from trying to make it all about the same time period. Well, it can't be the same time period because it's different number of days, and so we explained it as best we could and depending upon the Holy Spirit to make the thing plain in the hearts of whoever He would make it plain to. So when we do look in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So we did go back and read that and try to put that together. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And we touched briefly on that flight into the wilderness. And the Bible does certainly say that Israel has a place prepared for it, that the Lord will take care of them in the wilderness. And so we touched on that sufficiently, I don't say thoroughly, but for the purposes of Matthew 24, we touched on it sufficiently, and so we will kind of pick up here in verse number 16 this week. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So, very briefly, the little horn shows up as told in Daniel chapter 8. And 2300 days later, the abomination of desolation takes place. When that takes place, according to Matthew chapter 24, the children of Israel should flee into the wilderness, or they should flee from Judea. 30 days after that, the time of Jacob's trouble, or the great tribulation, will begin. So they have 30 days. And in regards to that 30 days, verse 17, 18, and 19 take place. Let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Wherever you are, as soon as you hear that the abomination of desolation has taken place, you don't have any time to tarry. You don't have any time to make provision. You must flee right then. If the suggestion is that if you don't begin just as soon as you hear it, there may not be time for you to get away. And so, according to the timeline we went through in the last class, the little horn shows up. 2300 days later, the abomination of desolation takes place. You have 30 days between the abomination that maketh desolate and the beginning of the time of Jacob's trouble, or as it says in verse 21, the great tribulation begins to take place. And then 1260 days after that, the Advent will take place, and then somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 days after that, or I would say 30 to 40 days after that, the judgment of Matthew chapter 25 would take place. So that, going back to Daniel chapter 12, that's where the 1290 days comes in. There is 1290 days from the abomination of desolation to the end of the tribulation, and there is 1290 days from the abomination of desolation to the end of the tribulation, and there's 1260 days from the beginning of the great tribulation to the end of the time of Jacob's trouble. And then Daniel chapter 12 gives you another number that will take you from the abomination of desolation 30 days out beyond the advent. And so that number fits perfectly there, and those people are called blessed if they could make it to that point in time. So having done that, they will get beyond that judgment that does take place in Matthew chapter 25 and enter into a time of blessing, which is the millennial reign of Christ, in which they will still have to follow rules and regulations of the kingdom. Don't call your brother a fool. All these things that Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 talks about that, for the most part, in the sense of not calling your brother a fool, Paul the Apostle paid no attention to when he referred to the Colossians as fools, and they were certainly his brethren. And so you see these things are either applicable to everybody or they're applicable to a certain group of people. And we certainly do find those people in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 24, the time of Jacob's trouble, the people of Israel. So we are rightly dividing the word of truth to make all these things line up perfectly. 2300 days from the little horn to the abomination that maketh desolate, 30 days more till the tribulation begins, 1260 days more till the advent, and then out beyond that, the judgment and the millennial reign, and then of course the end of days as far as time is concerned, new heaven and the new earth. So you can work out these timelines very carefully using that system, and I did all that simply to make this verse make sense. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, do not go back in your house. Flee into the mountains. Flee into the wilderness. Flee from Judea, because he says in verse 17, you don't have time to go in your house or take anything out of your house. He said, if you're out in the field working, you don't have time to go home and get your clothes. Verse number 19, he says, woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. So we see these things make sense perfectly when we look at it in that sense. 30 days to get out, and not just to get out, but to get to the place of safety that's been appointed for you. And we found that place. We talked about that place being Salah Petra, and we showed that place in Revelation chapter 12 of being a place that the Lord has prepared for them for a refuge. So then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, says Matthew 24:16. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, relating a sense of urgency. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes, again relating a sense of urgency. Woe to them which are with child. Woe unto them. He says woe unto them. That means it's going to be a very difficult time. There's going to be reason for woe, which basically means there'll be reason for them to distress. There'll be reason for it is the beginning of the time of the tribulation, the beginning of sorrows, as it is related here in Matthew 24 again, verse number 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So he says, woe to them that are with child. And it's just something that can't be avoided, that in this time period that we're studying, that people are going to still be marrying and giving in marriage, and they're going to have children, and there's going to be all these things that people will use against the Lord. How could the Lord do this to all these poor people? They have children and they don't know and they don't understand. But the Lord has given His word, and the Lord has given warnings by the prophet, and the Lord has given His, not only given His word, but preserved His word. And so regardless of situation, regardless of the fact you've got to go to work, or regardless of the fact that you're trying to take it easy on the rooftop and trying to relax, or regardless of the fact that you just had a child, regardless of the fact that you just had a wife, or regardless of the fact that you've just bought a field and or bought some oxen and need to prove it, that when the Lord says it's time, then it will be time. And regardless of the things that make it inconvenient for you, the Lord will have His way. The Bible says the Lord has His way in the whirlwind, and certainly the time of tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble, will be considered a great whirlwind in the earth. He said, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So it might be a time of great cold. It might be a time of great inconvenience. It might be a time of that the religion, the established religion, says you're not supposed to do anything else. It might be that your religious convictions will keep you from following God's commandment. How many times can we see through the study of the history of man that men's religion kept them from doing what God commanded? Some people would rather stick to the tradition of their beads or their ritualistic worship or their honoring of idols rather than to simply heed the word and heed God's instruction in the ways of salvation. And it may be that in the reestablished worship, which the Bible certainly makes clear will take place, the reestablished worship of these Jews will make it very difficult for them to follow what God tells them to do in this particular situation. They may reinstitute the law. They may reinstitute the sacrifices. They may reinstitute the temple worship. And should it be that the Antichrist, should it be that the devil, should it be that the man of sin shows up and performs his sacrifice on a Sabbath day, a Jew would be very reluctant in his newfound zeal for his religion to flee into the wilderness on a Sabbath day. And so that's why the Lord says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. So if it should be that a man is heeding the words of God when the little horn shows up in Daniel chapter 8, and should he begin to read God's word, and should he begin to get light on some things that are about to take place, should he recognize that 2300 days, he should start to pray, hey Lord, please don't let this thing end up in a place where the conveniences of this world would keep me from the inconvenience or the convenience of this world, the following of the rituals, the traditions of this world would keep me from seeing the necessity of fleeing when I should flee and going against what the rest of the world would be bowing down to this man. The rest of the world would be praising this man for making such a bold sacrifice in the face of thousands of years of tradition. The rest of the world might applaud this great offense toward the Jew. But that Jew, having recognized the times in which he lives, should God grant them the ability to see it, he'll have to say, Lord, help me to flee when all the rest of the world is being gathered to this man of sin. Lord, help me to stand against the great urge to go along with popular demand or to go along with consensus. Help me, O God. And that's what the Lord's telling him to do. Pray that your flight be not in the winter. So there certainly is somebody that is going to be on the earth in these days that recognize the need to pray for these things. And then I would also point out that prayer influences this situation. And many times we think about that the Lord has everything laid out in such a fashion. And you might get this more with the Reformed theology or with, even if it's not Reformed theology does have a lot of influence on the way a lot of religious people see things, even if they're some Baptists or not Reformed, but they still see things in a predestined way. In other words, what will be, is not just a Reformed theological idea. So you would think, well, the Lord is going to perform the rapture on this day, and then the Antichrist is going to show up on this day, and all of these things. Well, what this gives us to believe is, he's saying, pray that your flight be not in the winter. Well, if the Lord's already preordained that it be in winter, what good would the prayer do? Well, see, that's not what this is saying. In other words, the Lord is asking you, if you're in this situation, if you're alive at this point in time, he's saying if you're praying and if you are seeking God and if you're trying to do the right thing, it is possible that the God, even though these things are going to happen, can make these things happen in a more convenient way, though they be clearly inconvenient. It's inconvenient to have to flee in the first place. Well, it's inconvenient for some of you to go to church in the first place. But it all hinges on your prayer life. If you've been praying, it might be inconvenient for you to have to take up a missionary journey. It might be inconvenient for you to leave a place of ease and pastor a church where you have no desire to pastor a church. It might fall to you. And certain things that are going to take place in your life are truly going to take place. But had you been praying, the accomplishment of these things might happen in a more favorable circumstance than it otherwise would. That they are going to happen. They are going to happen. These things that are portrayed in Matthew 24 are going to happen. But it depends upon the people to which these things are going to happen to. Their relationship with the Lord, their seeking for the Lord, their desire for the Lord is going to have an effect on when these things actually happen. Now we know when the little horn shows up to the abomination of desolation, it's 2300 days. But the Lord could move that thing back a month or ahead a month or back 2 days or 3 days, so it doesn't happen exactly when it would be inconvenient to happen, as he's telling these people to pray right here. So one thing you got to realize when you're reading the Bible is if God is merciful and graceful, he'll prolong judgment. He will be long-suffering. He will give people an opportunity to do right. And even though something is going to happen, he can make those circumstances more tolerable depending upon the faithfulness of the believer. And he can make it more intolerable as according to the unfaithfulness of a believer. And so in this case he says, But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, nor on the Sabbath day. And then let me add on to that, something I've already mentioned in the last class, but this is a Sabbath day. And in regards to that, I'm not going to give you the verses over again, but in regards to that, there is this Jewish idea. The church is not subject to the Levitical requirements of the Sabbath day. It is not a church thing. Now, myself personally, I like to regard the Sabbath in regards to a day of rest because that's the way the Lord presented it in the book of Genesis. But the Bible also says the Lord came down and revealed the Sabbath to Moses. And so from Genesis 1 to the time that God revealed these things to Moses, the Sabbath wasn't a requirement. It wasn't even known from Adam to Moses. But the Lord showed these things to Moses. He wrote them down in the law, and the Jews followed these things religiously. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the Levitical law, and he took the ordinances that was against us and took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross so that we might enter the body of Christ by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians that these Sabbath days that are mentioned here in Matthew 24 and verse 20, he says those are a shadow of things to come. So again, I want to emphasize the importance of dispensational viewpoints, the importance of seeing these things for what it is, the body of Christ and the Sabbath observing Jews, who certainly must observe these things in the future, a shadow of things to come, the book of Colossians says in chapter 2. The differences between the church who has no dealings with the Sabbath and this Jew that will be restored in the future, who will be required to and will also have to reinstate these things in their religious life. The difference is undeniable and unmistakable. And here the Lord certainly does. Now, if the Lord was talking to the church in Matthew chapter 24 and he's teaching things about the church, there's no possible way that he would mention the Sabbath because the ordinances for us have been taken away. Colossians chapter 2, the same chapter that deals with the Sabbath, tells us that these ordinances that have been taken out of the way for the church, not for all eternity and not for all people, but for believers in Jesus Christ by grace through faith, these things are not relevant in this same sense that you see it here in verse 20. Like I said, I observe the Sabbath for a day of rest, because I can see that that's clearly the way the Lord designed our little bodies to work. Work 6 days and seventh day you rest. It's just good sense. But as far as religious values and in the context of Colossians chapter 2 and in Matthew 24:20, not applicable to the church. In no way, shape, or form is it applicable to the church. And so when you're reading Matthew chapter 24, it's undeniable that there is a dispensational view of Israel as separate from the church in this passage. There's no way to get around it. So he says, "But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now with that, I will give you one reference out of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble." And this is my reference that I will often cite from Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, a time of Jacob's trouble. So in this case he says, "Standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was." That's the same wording as Matthew 24. "A time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered." So there's a time of trouble like there never was before. "And thy people. It says, shall be delivered. I emphasize thy people because thy people is a reference to the literal children of Israel. Emphasize, not spiritual Israel. Emphasized, again I say, not emphasizing spiritual Israel, but emphasizing the physical children of Israel by name when he says in Jeremiah, a time of Jacob's trouble. Forgive me for overemphasizing that, but it must be done to let you see that God is dealing with His people. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Not to become spiritual Israel, not to become Jacob, but to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And that's the great blessing of the church age, to become God's son, born again into the family of God, not as the children of men, not as the children of Jacob, not as the children of Abraham, but to be the sons of God, which is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and a reference to Adam in his original state of creation. Luke chapter number 3. Adam was the son of God. And so it's a completely restored man. Now, he's talking here about the time of Jacob's trouble or the time of trouble. You ought to recognize that. You ought to take, if you have to, take Daniel 12:1, write it down. Right beside of it, write Jeremiah 30 and verse 7. Write it out word for word. And then take right beside that Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21 and write them out word for word as it appears here in the blessed old King James Bible, and write them out side by side with one another, and you will see that same flavor. One says time of trouble, one says great tribulation, one says such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And when you get three verses that are saying that there's a time of trouble, there will never be anything like it, there will never be anything like it before it, during it, or after it, you know that they can only be talking about the same period of time. There cannot be three greatest times of trouble. If it's a greatest time of trouble, there's never been a time like it, during it, or after it. It can only be talking about one period of time. And so, write these things out, look at them, study over them, pray over them, and you will begin to see that this great time of tribulation is God's judgment and God's wrath upon unbelieving Israel for their rejection of the Savior, for their wickedness, for all their transgressions. They are going to pay for these things. And again, I say, as I've said many times, the great tribulation and its wrath and all the things that are being poured out, not only on the world, but on the children of Israel, for the children of Israel's part, for the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will pay for that in the time of the tribulation, much the same way that the children of Israel paid for their unbelief in the days of Moses when they wasted away in the wilderness, and only a certain group and a certain age got into the promised land, but they certainly did pay in the wilderness for the sin of unbelief. And of course, if you'll compare that with the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and 4, you'll see a very strong emphasis and a very strong plea, not, if you would enter into his rest, not to go, not to approach God with the same unbelief this time around. And so a lot of these things can be put together. I'm going to go into these things in more detail in the next class. But for now, take these few passages that we've talked about. Jeremiah chapter 30. Daniel chapter 12. Matthew chapter 24. Put these verses together. Read them. Pray about them. Ask God for direction. And you will be, no doubt, influenced by the Lord the way He wants you to be influenced if you're praying in sincerity. Amen? Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. All right, for now that'll be it. We'll join, next time we get together, we'll look at verse number 21 in a little bit more detail. All right, God bless you. Thank you.